That's the sound of billions of dollars being eaten and destroyed by wild hogs in the U.S. every year. I'm Charlie Lobner, Vice President of True Conservation, your host for the Sounder Podcast, and I'm asking for your help in fighting the war on hogs. The wild hog population is steadily growing throughout the United States every year despite efforts to eradicate them in some of the most extreme ways. It has become clear that it is not a problem that can be dealt with alone. We are calling all hog hunters and trappers, as well as landowners, farmers, and ranchers to help us. With your help and donations, we can help incentivize the largest army in the world to fight this war with us, the American sportsmen. Our goal is to provide an opportunity to give back to those putting forth an effort to eradicating hogs. By giving opportunities to win prizes that outdoorsmen would want, we have already eradicated over 2,000 hogs in the True Hog Hunters Tournament. This does not put a dent in the current population of what is estimated to be over 6 million hogs now, but it does show that hunting efforts go up and more hogs are eradicated when hunters have a chance to win a prize of value. We are all affected by wild hogs, and it is time we do something about it. Join the True Hog Hunters Tournament and donate at true-conservation.org and help us manage the overpopulation of this invasive species in our mission of conservation through eradication. For more information, email me at charlie@thesounderpodcast.com or check out our website at true-conservation.org. Thanks so much for tuning in to the Sounder Podcast, the podcast dedicated to the war on hogs. I'm your host, Charlie Lobner. Got a great show for you today. Just hope that everybody out there is having a great week. Before we get started, start announcing our leaderboard so far for the month of October. Quick reminder, you can get signed up for the True Hog Hunters Tournament at true-conservation.org. Nonprofit organization there at True Conservation. Trying to raise awareness of the issues that derive from the overpopulation of an invasive species such as wild hogs. We want to get people out there and do their part, hunt them any way they can with the tools available at their disposal. You hunt your land, your time, your way. It's a numbers game. Everything is submitted via cellular device, cell phone. You take a couple pictures, submit them into the website. If you do everything correct, they get approved, you get credit, and you have another ticket in the hat to win a prize. So as soon as you get signed up, you automatically have a chance at winning. Every hog submitted and approved gets you an extra ticket in the hat. So really good chances there. We're going to go ahead and jump into our leaderboard this month. But before I do that, as promised, going to announce our prize for this month. If you haven't checked it out on our Facebook page, again, that's True Conservation. We are giving away a Mossberg Patriot chambered in 7mm 08 paired with a Vortex 3x9x40 Crossfire 2. Again, you can check that out on our Facebook page. You can also, if you get signed up, there's a photo of it on our leaderboard as well. So, great prize right there. 7mm 08, I'm a fan of. Doesn't get talked about enough, especially down here in South Texas. I think it's just a really good cartridge. Parent case is the 308, just neck down. You know, you're going from a 308 to the 284. So not much smaller than a 308, a little bit faster, a little flatter shooting. But I'm a big fan of this rifle, and it's funny that we're giving it away because the only reason I'm a fan of this rifle is we won one when I was a kid. My dad won one in a raffle, and that was the first time I'd even heard about it. And it was a Remington 700, and we've been shooting it. It's just a great gun, great cartridge, and I really like it. A little less recoil. This is a, you know, I put it up there with a really good starter cartridge for any kid down in South Texas. I think that they can handle it. It may have just a tad bit more recoil than a 6.5 Creedmoor, but being that 284 bullet, you can shoot some lighter bullets and it not be as bad. So check that out. Great prize. We're also going to be giving away our variety pack of the Texas Hog Bait. This is the two packs, one of the Sawaiian Crush, one of the peanut butter, and then the jug of the Sawaiian Crush. Well, I guess it wouldn't be the Sawaiian Crush, but it's the jug of their Sawaiian, like, goo. their liquid. I don't know what to call it. It's not watered down. It's a pretty, like a syrup, I guess, is exactly the word I'm looking for. The Sawaiian Crush syrup. Great stuff. If you are trapping, this is a really, really good thing to put in your trap. It's going to bring those hogs in from a long ways away. That peanut butter works really great with deer as well. I think the Sawaiian Crush does as well. Brings wildlife in. You could use this as a kill pile, use it in your trap, just anything to bring the wildlife in. You know, like I said, it's got a very potent, very strong scent. It's going to carry for a long ways off. And deer and hogs, being like most animals, use their nose to travel. Just a really, really good little pack. So going to last you a long time. Guys, you can put this you can put that bag, this mixture, in your feeder. It's feeder safe. Mix it with your corn. You know, you can mix just like a cup or two of that syrup with corn and put it out. You don't have to use the whole thing at once. You can make this stuff last quite a long time. So the two packs, the two bags, and the gallon jug are going to last you for a good ways. So great prize right there. Should help you put some numbers in the tournament. And help you win, hopefully, the 7mm 08. And don't forget, for the month of December, we already announced the prize for December. To end the year right, we're going to be giving away that North Texas Hog Control gate. These guys build gates and traps. This is a automatic gate worth about $1,800 in value. Something that you build a pen around this thing. You get them hogs going in. You get a notification on your cell phone, you know, of a picture of what's going in there. You hit the button. It closes. Now you got hopefully the whole sounder, you know, depending on the pen that you build around this thing. You can trap 30, 40, 50 hogs. I've seen it done before. It's pretty amazing. So that's for December. Never too early to get signed up, have a chance at winning that. Get signed up again, true-conservation.org. Get back to the leaderboard. Right now we have Jarek Hocek in the lead with 13. Army Hog Hunters 07 with 2. And then Daniel Polanski with 1. But we're still pretty early in October. You know, there's still guys out there bird hunting. It's archery season for whitetail down here in Texas. So, got a feeling that these numbers could spike throughout the weekend. We do have a cool front coming through. This one's going to be a dry front, looks like. But all the same, it's supposed to cool things down. We're looking at possibly high 50s at night. That should get these pigs moving, should get the deer moving. It's starting to feel more and more like deer season. It's a great time to be a hunter right now. We've had a few fronts come through. We're very thankful for the rain that we've had. Hopefully we continue to get some. I think we got some more in the forecast for next week with another front. But it was much needed. Like I said, we were just so dry. I think I mowed the grass this year about, you know, less than 10 times, which is crazy because in past years there was a time where I was mowing twice a week. And we just didn't have enough rain. My yard dried up and burnt out, and it just not good. We got big cracks in the ground still, but this rain definitely helped out a little bit. But we could always use a little bit more. So keep praying. Hopefully next week continues. I think late in the week is when we got the best chance of rain. So, but I do have my food plot popping up with this rain. Went out there and had a few sprigs kind of coming up and looking like it was a little greener. Then as I've been checking my game cam, I do have a cellular game cam out right now that was given to me just to try out. And I've been running it, and it's like every day it's a little bit greener out there. So hopefully, you know, that's a good sign that all that seed I threw out is taken. You know, I threw out seed expecting a rain on it within the first couple of days of it being out, and it took almost 2 weeks. I got a very quick hard rain on it, and when I say quick, it was like not even 5 minutes long. Really didn't do enough for me. In fact, it was right after the rain, you could still walk out there and kick the dust up. So it wasn't very good for me. It was pretty dry for 2 weeks. I was getting a little nervous that maybe I planted a little too soon, but we have had some good rains, and it's looking like the seed's coming up, and should have a healthy little food plot if it continues to do this. If the seed takes, you know, I'm looking at hopefully having some green to eat for these deer, because I don't know if it's anything like last season, it won't be all that big of a deal. We didn't have a freeze until very late. That made deer hunting and hog hunting kind of difficult. They weren't really coming to the feeder all that much. And, you know, we had a pretty good spring and I guess early summer. We had rain last year, and that caused us to have quite a bit of acorns and stuff like that. So it was a little difficult getting some of the bigger deer to show up on camera, get them to come to the feeders last year. Like I said, I think if we would have had an early freeze, you know, it would have been a lot different. But all the same, I had enough activity to keep me happy. Was still able to harvest a buck last year, able to get on a few pigs. And I'm hoping this year is even better. So, like I said, got the food plot coming up. Been checking the game cameras. We got a few young bucks coming in that are looking pretty good. Nothing to get excited about for this season, but something that, you know, I'm definitely creating a file and saving these pictures for hopefully, you know, 2, maybe 3 years down the road, seeing them again and seeing their growth. So, good looking deer. It's just crazy to think about 15 years ago, never seeing a buck. And now, you know, we have, you know, 2.5, 3.5 year old little 10 points running around. And that was something that I never dreamed would happen out there. You know, we have, you know, 2.5 year olds that are actual legal shooters. They're over 13 inches wide. And that's crazy. We have 3 year olds that, you know, are really looking good. So it's nice to start seeing better deer in Karnes County. I think, you know, that's everybody out there starting to realize and become more educated on the hunting process. So letting these deer grow, doing what we can to give them the best environment, the best habitat, to feed these things year round, give them water, and just be patient as hunters. And that's a tough thing to do, but the payoff is well worth it. So it's great to see some deer hanging around. I still got the javelinas popping through every now and then. I made a bad shot on one, hit it square in the shoulder, and just didn't get enough penetration. And I was really, really sick to my stomach. I thought, you know, oh, I just mortally wound this thing, couldn't track it, couldn't find blood, and thought, oh, great, you know, I went out and died, and I hate doing that. And, you know, come to find out, it's back on my camera eating again. So the javelina is fine. It made a full recovery. Like I said, I just hit square shoulder blade and just it didn't penetrate through. And you know, I was about a 24-yard shot. And I was a little nervous, you know, because I've been talking a lot about my bow setup. I hunt with a budget bow. And I was kind of talking up these arrows and these broadheads that I bought on Amazon and saving a ton of money on them. And I was like, well, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I should have went and spent a little more money and got something, you know, a better quality broadhead. Maybe if I would have bought a better broadhead, I would have got penetration. I could have broke through that shoulder blade and made a kill. It's difficult to do even with the best broadheads. If you make a shoulder shot like that, it's just not a good shot. And that's a risk that you run shooting bows. But went back and got the target out, did some practicing, and just got, you know, made sure that I was zero, and I was. I just pulled my shot, and ended up going back out and got a good opportunity on an older doe. You know, and there's no doubt in my mind this is one of the does that's been blowing at me for the past few years. When I say older, she was worn down in her teeth. She had the tip of her tail was bald. She was losing hair on that. She had hair missing on her front shoulders. I don't know exactly how old, but she was a pretty ancient doe compared to the other does that were around her. She was big and heavy, and she gave me a 22-yard shot. So I drew back on her and let one fly, and I hit her right behind the rib cage. She was quartered away. It went up in her, and it just liquefied her lungs, and she barreled through the tree line, made it, you know, 20 yards from where I shot her and went down and died instantly. So very pleased with the arrow, very pleased with the broadhead. I got nothing but good things to say about it so far besides my bad shot, which is hunter error. I mean, but it hit right where I was aiming, went through, and just a really quick, clean kill. So I'm telling you, I bought a dozen arrows and a dozen broadheads off of Amazon for $60, which when you compare that price to what you're going to go and find at like your Cabela's and Bass Pro or your pro shops, I'm not saying that, you know, those are bad arrows, those are bad broadheads, but I'm saying you can hunt on a budget. You can go out there, you know, target shoot on a budget. You don't have to spend hundreds of dollars on your gear to be successful in the field. You know, I'm a firm believer that there is stuff out there that is, you know, there's a lot more quality control on some of those big name brands. When you spend money on stuff like that, you know, and you start weighing arrow to arrow, broadhead to broadhead, you're going to find a lot better tolerance on some of the stuff that you spend more money on. But all that, I mean, unless you're really reaching out there, you know, if you're a guy that's shooting 40-plus yards, 50-plus yards, you know, which is kind of unrealistic in my neck of the woods, there's no need for it. If that deer's not coming in, you just got to let it walk. But I could see going up north hunting like a big elk or something, maybe going that route. But down here, just hunting whitetail, we don't have these big Canadian whitetails. We don't have, you know, 250, 300-pound whitetails hanging around. It's not necessary. And to be honest with you, you know, I've used budget arrows and budget broadheads before, you know, and I've had enough penetration on a 200-plus pound boar, you know, which is a lot denser of an animal than a whitetail. So you can really save yourself some money. A lot of it's going to come down to practice. Get out there and shoot your bow. And I'm a firm believer you need to shoot with the broadhead that you're going to be hunting with, not necessarily like that particular one, but that style. You need to go out there and practice with that. There's a big difference in target broadheads, and there's big variance in hunting broadheads from one to the next. So get out there and practice. But guys, we're going to take a quick break. When we get back, we're going to talk a little bit more about game cams, talk a little bit more about my bow hunt. But stay tuned to Sounder Podcast. I'll be right back. Attention hog hunters, Charlie with the Sounder Podcast here, and I want to let you in a little secret that will help you bring those pigs in right where you want them. If you're baiting traps and kill piles with anything but Texas hog bait, you're wasting your time and money. Our friends over at Texas Hog Bait have come up with a formula that hogs cannot resist. We all know what it feels like to set your trap with plain old deer cording and other homemade baits and wait weeks to try to catch hogs, all while having to continuously rebait over and over due to raccoons, birds, deer, and other critters eating the bait. Texas hog bait is different than other hog attractants for the fact that it not only can attract hogs from a long distance with its strong aroma, but it works fast and will create a scent that lasts long after the bait itself is gone, keeping hogs coming back again and again for several weeks. You will not be able to make a bait for a better price that will work as well as Texas hog baits does. Believe me, I have tried just about everything out there. Even my attractant that was successful at bringing hogs in failed at keeping them coming back like Texas hog bait does. With flavors like Blackout, Black Licorice, and Hawaiian Punch in liquid jug and crush packs, Texas Hog Bait has all you need to get the whole sounder in your traps and in your sights. Get your Texas Hog Bait at TexasHogBait.com and see the results for yourself. All right, and we're back. Thanks for tuning in to the Sounder Podcast, the podcast dedicated to the wild hogs. We've been talking about bow hunting, being archery season. I've been talking about my budget bow. I've been talking to you about my broadheads and my arrows that I ordered off of Amazon to save a lot of money. And I've had success with them. And to be honest with you, you know, shooting these things, I can't really fully compare because I've never shot a high-end bow. I've never shot really high-end arrows and broadheads. But I can tell you that I have had success in the field on a budget bow, on Amazon arrows and Amazon broadheads. You don't have to spend a ton of money getting into this. And I'm really reaching out to the guys that have thought about bow hunting and are looking at getting into it, don't want to spend, you know, $1,200+ on a bow and then have to turn around and spend, you know, a couple $100 on arrows and broadheads as well. You don't have to do that. Look around, do your research, read reviews, and you can save some money and have success in the field. But same thing with your game cameras. I've been a stickler about this. You don't have to spend hundreds of dollars on game cameras. It's unnecessary. I have been running $32 Walmart Tasco game cameras for the past couple years, and I have had nothing but success. Every error I think I've had for the most part has been on me, and even then, like the one that did fail on me, I found out it was because of low batteries. I replaced the batteries, and we're good to go again. $32 is a hard deal to beat. It really is. You talk about running video. I got really good quality video. The main thing is I don't need to see like every, you know, eyelash on this deer. I just need to make out the rack. I need to try to be able to age it the best I can. And really, I need to know where its approach is, where it's coming from, where it's leaving, and the time and the date. This is very important when trying to figure out where these deer and where these hogs and other wildlife are coming when you are hunting them. So we've been running my brother-in-law's muddy cell cam out there, and it's working. And to, you know, I'm not paying for, I didn't buy the camera, and I'm not paying for the monthly subscription. It's working, but it's not, to me, it's just not really worth the money. It's nice to wake up and drink my coffee and get my notifications in the morning, you know, that I had deer there overnight. But I'm not, when I compare it to the Tasco and what I'm seeing there, the only thing that the muddy cell cam has above that is just the simple fact that it sends me pictures directly to my cell phone, which is great. But yet again, I live on the property that I hunt. So it's not hard for me to go out and just switch out SD cards. This is something that is obviously good for people that have to travel, you know, to go hunting. If you have a piece of property that's 2+ hours away from your home, you know, this is a great thing to have. You don't want to make that 2-hour drive, you know, on the weekend just to go get a game cam, to go check your SD cards. It's nice to be able to set it up, leave it, and not worry about it. But at the same time, compared to the other game cams, I have multiple game cams at my hunting spot. And a lot of this is because I don't want to miss a single thing that's showing up. I got them all at different angles, pretty much kind of in a giant circle of each other without them facing each other, so I don't blind myself out with two cameras taking photos or videos at the same time facing each other with that infrared at night. But this cell cam is not picking up a lot of the stuff, a lot of the animals that are showing up as the other cameras are. So I think that there's definitely something going on with the sensitivity level of the sensor or something, but it's taking photos, but I'm getting like a 7 to 8 hour gap at night of like nothing being there. And when I check the other cameras, it's telling me something completely opposite. I got deer and javelinas and raccoons and all kinds of stuff showing up all night. I have yet to check my cell cams this week, my Tascos at least. I'm probably going to get to that either today as I do this podcast or after the podcast, I should say, or this weekend sometime, like on a Saturday. But I plan on getting out there. But my brother's feeder, he's also running a budget game cam that he's had for years. I think he's going like 3 years, 3 or 4 years with this thing. It's the, was it the Elusive Wilderness game camera? I think they're like $40-$45, something like that. He's been running that. We got our first hog on camera for the season. Very excited. And the reason that we're excited about that is she's a big fat sow. And over the past few years of of hunting this property for most of the years, you know, 15 plus years of hunting this property, we have had a lot more solo boars than we ever had sows. Most of the pigs that we've killed in the past few years were like 200 plus pound boars. You know, very seldom, and most of the time when we get a smaller pig, it's still a boar. It's still a 100 plus pound boar, which we eat and all that, and we're grateful for it, but it's just nice to see. There's just something about a big fat sow. You don't have to prep the meat near as much. You usually don't have to cook it as long. I mean, you still need to cook it all the way through. You need to make sure it's done. That way you don't get sick. But you can, it's just a way better tasting quality meat for the most part. These fat sows, and she's a butterball. I mean, practically just a keg with legs. So very excited about her showing up. I don't know. She could be pregnant. I don't know. She doesn't seem bagged up. Maybe she just been eating good. But she's definitely on the hit list, especially, and as morbid as it sounds, especially if she's pregnant, we don't need any more of those things hanging around. But she would be a great one to put in the freezer with as much fat. I mean, this pig, I mean, I guarantee it has bacon on her. She's got a big old belly, just a really fat, wild hog. Looking forward to one of us getting her. My brother's going to be coming down this weekend doing some hunting. I'd love for him to get her. It'd be a great way for him to get some meat in the freezer. Pressure's kind of on, you know. We were talking about that, you know, getting low on our freezer. I was blessed. My brother-in-law gave me a whole bunch of deer meat from last season to eat up. So I'm full. I got that doe on ice and ready to get her in the freezer. That's going to add quite a bit of meat. And like I said, I'm doing all right on meat right now, so the pressure's kind of off for me. I don't have to be in a hurry on shooting a buck. I could be very picky this year. And really, there's only a handful that probably two or three that would be on my hit list, one in particular being Tina's buck. But that one's up in the air. You know, that one's going to be I'm going to make that decision in the stand as I'm watching him. Love to take him, but at the same time, I feel so connected to that deer in a way. It would be a very bittersweet moment for me if I was to harvest this deer. But at the same time, like, I go back to we named him Tina's buck for a reason. Is it right for me to take her from him? Take him from her, I should say. But I don't know. It's going to be a decision that has to be made, if it even comes to that. I mean, I may never see this buck. I know he's alive. I know he's wandering around out there. But is he going to step foot in front of my stand at, you know, less than 30 yards in daylight? I don't know. They don't get this old and this big for being stupid. So definitely hunting him, hunting that sow. Hopefully going to continue to have success this season. But I'm just pumped up about the cool front, pumped up about my food plot going, and the meat in the freezer, and just, it's been a fun season so far, and I hope that you're having success too. I'm hoping that your game cameras are showing you what you want to see, and, you know, I think it's going to be a good year. I really do. But that's going to do us all time today, guys. Thank y'all so much for tuning in. Best of luck to all our hunters out there. Be safe. Remember, get signed up, true-conservation.org. for your chance at winning prizes every month. Remember, we're giving away that 7mm 08, that Mossberg Patriot, with the scope, the Vortex 3x9x40 Crossfire 2. You're going to love this gun. It's like, it's a laminate, a wood laminate, very pretty, with the black barrel. Just a great looking gun. So y'all have a good one. This is Sounder Podcast. We're out of here until next week. See ya.